So this is going to be a little bit of a continuation from the Father's Heart sharings that have been focusing on the Father's heart for His Son. And basically, that's where my heart is. So that's where it's most living for me to fellowship and to submit verses and scriptures that I've been pondering with the Lord, and actually just present them before you to ponder and fellowship. And in no way am I trying to teach here or declare as if these things were so, but simply just asking the Holy Spirit to come upon the Word of God and lift up Jesus in the way that only He can. And in our blindness and in our lack, just fill us up with His fullness, Lord. We come in that spirit looking to You and You alone, and we love the atmosphere of Your house and of Your throne room and of Your person, where we can be just the earthen vessel and come so not I, and just allow You to be God, to be the fullness. Amen. We come to You, Lord, and we thank You for this time, in Jesus' name. So the first, I felt like the Lord did just introduce these particular verses to my heart this morning, and so it's in a certain order that He presented them to me, and it's in that order that I will present them to you. So, you know, if you get something from the Lord that you would like to share or discuss, please write that down so that at the end, if we want to, we can have a really precious time of discussion. So, and there is going to be a lot of different points and verses here. So, all things is where we're going to begin, and just those two words were presented to my heart by the Holy Spirit. All things. And these are the verses that I was meditating upon in regards to those two words, all things. John chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him, not anything was made that was made. All things were made by Him. And the context of that verse in John chapter 1 is the Word that was in the beginning and with God and was God. This Word made all things. And we know as the verses flow down in that same chapter, even down to verse 18, we find a fuller, radiant clarity of that Word as the one that was in the bosom of the Father, the very Son of God. Hallelujah. The Word, a person, a son in the bosom of the Father. By Him, all things are made. Without Him, this Son in the Father's bosom, nothing's made. All things are made by Him. And without Him, nothing can be made that is made. The next verse along the lines of all things is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by Him, and here again we find a flow about this is the Son of the Father's love. We see that in this first chapter of Colossians, but you can search those verses out yourself. Here in verse 16 it says, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17 continues, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Why? Why? Why does this guy get all the preeminence in everything? Verse 19 answers it. Because it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So this dude, called the Word, called the Son, called Jesus, He gets the preeminence. He makes everything, all things consist by Him for this one reason. It pleased the Father. Yeah, that's why. Doesn't have to go beyond that. You know, sometimes when you're disciplining your child, your kid might look up at you and say, why? Why does it have to be that way? That's not right. And you can look down at them and say, because I said so. Well, because that's how I feel about it. That's what makes it right, you know. And we can look up at the Father, at God, our Father, and say, hey, why does Jesus get the preeminence in everything? Why is everything always about him? He's the one who, you know, gets all the throne and dominion and principality and powers, and everything's created by him and created for him. And he's the fullness and the church and dominion and all this stuff. It's all about him. How come it's that way? Why can't we get a little bit of this? And the Father would look back down at us and say, because that's what pleases me, you know. Deal with it. This is who I am, and you know, I happen to be the Father, and I happen to be God. So this is what you got. You got me. This is what's in my heart, my son. So big that everything is about him. We continue in this theme of all things in Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, even in him. There's that all things again. Going down in Ephesians chapter 1, down to verse 22 and 23. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you can see a theme emerging from these two words, all things. As I sat out in the sun this morning, waiting for my dog to be trained, those two words came to my spirit by the Holy Spirit and initiated this search. The next three words that I felt came to me to search out in the scriptures were these three words, in his sight. In his sight. And there are so many places in the Bible that use these three words, either in his sight or in thy sight, that I would highly recommend doing a scripture search of these three words, in his sight, or instead of using the word his, you can use thy, because sometimes the King James uses thy instead of his. It's a tremendous search. A couple verses, just to throw a few out there, where you'll find these words. Hosea 6:2, Colossians 1:22, Hebrews 4:13, Psalm 51:4, Psalm 19:14, Matthew 11:26, and then we're working our way down to Luke chapter 15 and verse 21. But before we look at Luke 15, because that's where the emphasis of our scripture searching today is going to take us, let's back up one verse, back up to Matthew 11 and verse 26. This is Jesus using these words, in thy sight. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. If you look into these references throughout the Word of God that use these three words, in thy sight, in his sight, referring to God, you will find a general theme, and that beautiful, beautiful theme is so precious. I have been meditating on it for, oh my goodness, a while now, by the Spirit's prompting. And that theme, that these words continually arise in my spirit, is a heart towards what is important to God. What is important in God's sight. And again, it harkens us back to the all things question. Why is it important that all things are summed up by your son? Always have to do with Jesus. Jesus being the full. Why is all that? And the Father says, he could say, because it seems good in my sight that he should be the fullness, that by him all things should consist. It's the prerogative of the Father, and it's regarding what's in his heart and how he sees things, what his view is based on what's in his heart. And so people throughout the scriptures who begin to care about what God is feeling and how God sees things and what's important to God and what God what God thinks is important, what God thinks is, you know, the prime issue in this situation. They will use these three words, in your sight, in thy sight. It'll just be there real quick. They'll be praying. They'll be going through something. They'll be mentioning some eternal or deep spiritual work, the cross, or some kind of dealing or some kind of response and repentance. But you'll know they're close to the kingdom. They're close to the Father because they interject from their heart these three words, in thy sight. It's not just, Lord, forgive me, but Lord, I have sinned in thy sight. And in thy sight alone have I, you know, their concern is with the Father's heart. What does God feel? How does God see this? It's that heart that says it's not just about what's right or wrong or scripturally correct or doctrinally true or what can I get away with or what am I supposed to do? Lord, what's going on in your sight? What's going on in your sight? And if I've violated something, I've violated it in your sight. You know, it's just a beautiful thing. I'm pondering on it, man. I just want to open up that pearl. But we see this very spirit at work in the prodigal son, and that's where we're heading right now, when he returned to his father. And you can see the spirit and heart that began to arise in the prodigal son, and these three words cluing us in to the changes that were happening in that prodigal son. So let's go now to chapter 15 of Luke. And specifically, let's look at verse 21. So we're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. We're looking at verse 21. And let's go ahead and read it. And the son said unto him, Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And I think one of the really, really impacting things about what hit my heart when I was reading, you know, looking deep into this prodigal son and pondering, man, what's going on inside of this guy? What's happening inside of him? That's the father seeing something going on deep in him. What words do the verses of scripture decide to magnify and write down in this experience of this prodigal that could clue me in the power of the Holy Spirit to the significant changes, you know, that are happening in this guy? And I believe these words, in thy sight and I've sinned against heaven, just bam, they start focusing into that heart turning and turning. Because he's saying, you know, I just haven't sinned against the law. I haven't sinned against the rules of the house. I haven't, you know, sinned against, you know, whatever situation this or that is. But instead, I've sinned against, you know, heaven. So we see here, man, I've sinned against heaven. Man, I love that. I have sinned against heaven. And I've sinned in thy sight. So, you know, that is really amazing, because his heart isn't just looking at himself. I mean, I think the real key thing here is that the real key thing here is that he's not looking at himself right now and going, oh man, I can't believe I was eating pig food. I can't believe that I was this and that and the other. And oh my gosh, look at how could I be so far from the Father? And how could I, you know, I think that the real thing that hit the prodigal's heart was, man, look what I've done in the Father's sight. You know, who is looking for his son in me. And look what I've done against heaven's purpose, is against heaven, you know, against the realm that I'm born to be a part of through Christ. You know, he wasn't caught up in the earth. He wasn't caught up in his situation down here and his failure down here and his lack down here and all, you know. Instead, something hit the prodigal that took him out of self-awareness, even in his darkest worst failure, his furthest location from the Father, his deepest, you know, a transgression to the Father's heart. But in the middle of that, instead of getting all bogged down with how bad and how far and how hard and how evil and how look at this pig, this dirt, this country, this people, this sin, this awful me, this oh, whoa, he saw the greater sin was against what was in the Father's heart, against heaven's purpose for his life, to be a vessel of the Son. And that broke him. It broke him in a way that didn't make him get harder or more self-consumed with grief and self-awareness and, you know, regret and all those. It hit him so deep to feel the Father's need for his Son and to know that heaven's purpose was that he be a vessel of that Son, and that he'd wounded that. He had pulled away. He had joined and moved in another direction and filled himself with another kind of life. You know, something in him so deep that it brought him back to the Father in this spirit where the first things out of his mouth are like, well, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in your sight. I mean, wow, what a beautiful, beautiful thing that must have sounded like to the Father. Let's take it in a practical example. Like if you have children and you're disciplining them and you're, you know, saying, don't do this, you shouldn't have done that, and this is the way, you know, what's in my heart was for you to do it this way. And, you know, you're disciplining them and they start to soften and they start to turn and they come back to you. And instead of saying, man, I broke the rule and I'm such a jerk and I'm, you know, making excuses or just getting all full of shame and stuff, they come up and say, Dad, Father, I realize that what I did was in your sight something that wasn't who you are. It violated your heart. It hurt you. And I haven't just done something wrong. I've sinned against the spirit of our house and the family spirit and what I'm a part of and meant to be a part of. That's the real problem. That's what I've really missed. I've missed your heart and I've missed the spirit of our family. I'm sorry. I'm not even worthy having this kind of spirit at work in me. I'm not even worthy to be a part of this family. I'd be lucky to be a servant having this kind of an attitude, knowing your heart and knowing the spirit of our family. I'm sorry I've done this to you. Man, can you hear the difference? What a difference to the Father's ears. Wow. I honestly am so blown away by that, by what it must do to God's heart to hear that kind of a turning to Him. You know, and we're never going to be able to turn to the Father in that way until we really start tuning in to what's in His heart. You know, man, you have the Son that all things in your heart are bound up with. Your Son, the Son that's in your bosom, the Son of your love, the Son that pleases you, the Son that you've put in all of us and made us His very body. That's where your heart is. That's how you want to relate to us. And I've been off in this far country just, you know, not knowing you and your desire, your need, your spirit. You know, the Father just starts running and weeping and embracing and kissing and robing and wringing and getting that fatted calf ready to be consumed. He's so desirous to just swallow us up and gather us in, just waiting and waiting. You know, and we continue to see the Father's heart in such a beautiful way as these verses continue. In verse 28, again, we're in Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. You see the Father's heart here where it says the Father goes out and entreats. So we saw the Father running to the prodigal and we saw him just pouring over this response that we just discussed that happened in the prodigal's heart. But the elder son, you know, had a completely different take on everything. And I guess we should probably read a few verses before verse 28 to look at that. Now, in verse 25, it says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Your brother's come. Your father's killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound. And the older son is angry, and he won't go in. Therefore, the father came out and entreated him." So here we have the other son who the father loves. And the father has loved with the deepest possible kind of love that he could. He's loved him through Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, let's look at verse 31 before we go back to these other 2 points, because here you see it. Verse 31, "And father said to the elder son," this is verse 31, "Son, you are ever with me. All that I have is thine." And anytime you see that word "all," to me, it's talking about the all things that are bound up in the Son of his love, Christ, who is our life. So the father's saying to this elder son, "Listen, I'm giving the same portion to the prodigal son as I have given to you everything. You both have the portion that is all things. I have given you my son, all of him. Nothing is withheld. Everything I have, which is my son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, he's yours, and you're in him, and you're ever with me because you are in Christ." So he's saying, "Listen, my heart is wide open to you. It's just as wide open to you as it is to the prodigal. I have given you both my slaughtered son, the son of my love, the Lamb of God. But, you're not approaching me in that same spirit and openness that the prodigal was. And yet the father's heart is the same as it was to the prodigal." And you see that here in verse 28. When the elder son wouldn't come out, it says, okay, the father goes out to him and he entreats him and he just starts, loving on him, trying to bring him in. But the elder son says, "Hey, these many years do I serve thee. At no time have I transgressed your commandment." Okay, so the issue to the elder son is not what's in the father's sight, what's in the father's heart, all the things that move God based on the heavens of the heavens of God and his desire to give us the Son. He has no sensitivity or awareness or thought for the Father's heart or the purposes of heaven in gathering him into this family. He only comes to the Father, not even calling him Father, just with these points. "Listen, I am serving you and I'm keeping the law. So why am I not getting further down the road with stuff?" Listen, the basis that this guy is approaching his dad on has nothing to do with knowing his father's heart or coming into the very purpose for which he was brought into this family. It just has to do with him. His whole emphasis is himself. What I have done, how good I've done, how much I've done, me, me, me. I served a lot. I kept the law. I never transgressed. Me, me, me. Me, 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 me. And he looks into the father, and all that elder son sees is his own reflection, how much he served him, how well he's done keeping the law. What he doesn't look into the father's eyes and see Christ, the son of his love, in there. He doesn't look in the father's eyes and see this incredible, broken, open heart in the father that just poured out his only begotten, beloved son and said, "Here, I'm going to let him be slaughtered so you can eat him. I'm going to let him become a man and be crucified so he can get inside of you. I'm going to give you my son. I love you so much that I'm going to give him up so you can have him in you." The elder son doesn't look deep enough into the father's eyes to see the phenomenal, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, slaughtered sacrifice the father did to give us all that he has. his son. All things the Father has, he gave us when he gave us his son to be our life. You know, the elder son didn't even think about that. What can you do for me today based on how good I am? You know, wow. That doesn't change the Father's heart. That doesn't change that the Father's completely given him his son, Christ, to be in him. But the elder son, he just can't get past it. He just can't get past it. And yet, you know, something in the prodigal was able to just go, oh, Lord, I see not me. I see not my sins. I see your son, the son that's in the bosom of the Father, the son that the Father sent to be my life, the son that the Father was pleased to bruise so that he could become our life, the son that the Father slaughtered and put on a feast of crucified Christ that was broken bread and poured out wine so he could be in us. I see so much love in this selfless giving that they would gather me in by the Son, that I break before you. I break not under the pressure and weight of my sin and guilt and shame, but under the weight of your great love and the great call of your heart to enter into Christ in a deeper way, and the great, great draw from the Father's heart to say, come back home. Let us make merry over the thing that rejoices my heart, Christ in us, the hope of the Father's glory. Let us come. Let us make merry. Let us feast. Let us delight ourselves in the Lord. Let us enter into the Father's joy. Let us leave ourselves in the grave, crucified and buried with all sins and lack and far country and hog food and everything that's of the first birth that Jesus Christ put away in his death. Let's just go from it and come unto God and enter in. But that's not going to happen if we don't care about his heart more than we care about how good we've done or how bad we've done. It's still just the knowledge of good and evil, and it's all about me, me, me. Gathering it to ourselves, seeing our own reflection, counting our own righteousness, instead of losing ourselves in the all things of Christ, the only thing that matters to the Father. And boy, when that heart starts turning in that way, you just better get ready, because the Father's going to start running. He's going to start kissing. He's going to start hugging. He's going to start feasting and sharing his son with you in a way we've never known. And it's going to be the best thing we've ever experienced, and it's never going to end. Praise the Lord. Can't you just feel the Father calling you, the Holy Spirit beckoning you? May we see what's in the Father's heart. May we see the Son in whom all fullness dwells. It pleases him that he's made everything by and for and through. May we enter in through the door. I thank you, Father, that the scriptures say in John 14 that Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. I am the way to the Father. Jesus, the only way we're going to really get into that Father's heart is through you as our life. And we want to now come on that basis to the Father in a new and living way, not on the basis of how good or bad we have done, not on the basis of anything of the first birth, because you put it all away so all things could now be found in him and we are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the plan that you organized and conceived of and sent forth from before the foundation of the world, that we could relate with the Father through his Son. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have not withholden anything from us, whether we feel prodigal or elder. You've given us all everything, all things. You've given us your Son. Oh, Lord, may our hearts turn and may they soften. May they hear what the Spirit is trying to say. May we look past the surface of the earth and find the heavens of the Father's heart crying out, come home, enter into my Son. Forget about yourself. You are dead. Christ is your life, and your life is hid there in him with God, who is your Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. What great love you have loved us with, Father. It's not that you've loved us individually or personally, but you've loved us in your Son and through your Son, and you've made us one with him. And there is no greater love. There is no greater portion, and there is no greater relationship. So, Lord, have your way. We just open as much as we know how to. We turn as much as we know how to. We respond as much as we know how to. We want you, Lord. We want this living relationship with the Father. We want, even as Amy prayed in the beginning of our prayer time, we want to feast with the Father for His heart's sake, for His joy, for Him to receive His Son, even through us. So, Lord, have your way, according to all that's in your heart.
Well, I believe that, you know, we should continue to persevere in our pressing in to see the Father's heart and praying for one another. You know, someone may be struggling with being under the law or just getting, another person may be dealing with, I just have so much regret over this area, or I'm so just shameful because of this and that. And yet, maybe as the Lord draws us and the Spirit opens us to the Father's heart, some of these old shackles will fall off, and we will have a fresh, new walk with the Lord based on His Son, just like the prodigal experienced. And how wonderful would that be in the name of Jesus? So let's just pray as we close and believe for one another and continue praying and just persevere and keep that tension of faith and that open heart, allowing the Lord to do all He wants in this season. So, Lord, thank You for Your great love wherewith You have loved us by giving us Your Son, and in such a way as allowing Him to be crucified, that we might really truly have Him within us. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would come and open the eyes of our hearts to see what's in You. Open the Scriptures to reveal the all things, like Geraldine shared, of how Your Son is everything to You, Lord. May we feast with You as the prodigal did. May we come as the priests did. May we not just do things or hear things or just serve and keep commandments, but eat and fellowship, even dance and sing. Lord, thank You. It's a relationship. It's not just this static, dead religion. It's the Son of Your love, and He's in us. And we're in Him. So, Father, make it real so You might really receive Him. We want to pray and believe for this in Jesus' name. Amen.